Back then, and you answer them now. You are. Father, we thank you and praise you for being our God, a powerful, faithful God that we serve. And we come again in your presence, feeling your spirit already in this place. As that will continue throughout the service, God, we don't know what prayer is upon the hearts that have gathered here, what things they have encountered this week, how you bless them, how they're doing, and our family members, God. But God, you know, because you're an all-knowing God, and you're a loving Father, so we just present the prayers upon his, that are upon all his hearts to you. God, we remember Sister Jesus in the hospital. Be with her. If there's others that are here that we haven't got notice about, be with them. Thank you for those that are back this morning, God. And just thank you in advance for what you're going to do in every situation. Those that are traveling, if we haven't been traveling, we pray that you would be with them, God, and bless all the churches that stand open in your door this morning. Would you come share some time with us in a, with a special, be present with us in a special way. Help us to receive and to share your word. Strengthen us where we're weak, build us up where we're torn down. Give us a new courage, new bravery, a new strength to go on. Help us to trust in you each step of the way, to live our lives by faith and not by sight. If you do that, God, we'll be forever grateful. We'll be forever grateful. Forgive us for all the time we've fallen short. We're going to trust you, because there's nobody else we can turn to. You are our God, our Father, our friend, and we put ourselves in your hands. Thank you, God, for what you're going to do again. Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 He's a wonderful God. What a wonderful God. We say thank you, choir, again, for those selections. Amen. And amen. We're just thankful one more time. He allowed us to be together one more time. Amen. Maybe we'll have our electrical issues by next week. We got electricity now this week, but it just didn't, they weren't able to finish. So hopefully this week they'll be able to finish, because it does cause a lot of issues, especially with our podcast and website, live website view. All right, let's get into the word.
All right.
Amen. Let's see what God has to say to us today. Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 14 and 20 through 25. On your sheets says, on the following day, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard it. Verse 20. As they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered. And Jesus answered them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that what he says will come to pass, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Yes. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your heavenly Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Amen. We've been blessed by reading and hearing of the Word of God. Pray that even a greater blessing will come as we walk it out. I'm returning this morning to a series we began in January. And the series is entitled, It's a Win-Win. I know it's been so long since we did that first installment. Some of you may have forgot about that series, but I said it wasn't a series that we were going to go straight through. It's one I'll be coming back to from time to time. Right. Amen, with various messages. So we're back in that series this morning. It's a win-win situation. And when we say that, we're talking about, amen, we win because God gets glory. And what we do is for God's glory, but we also win because it's for our good. Amen. So God gets glory and we get good out of the situation. And we did this because, amen, brought this to my mind and kind of started me along this series journey was because the question that was asked about all my team being winners and I only follow winners. That's my answer. I only follow winners. So the things I learned by following winners, amen, is helps me to be a better person, better pastor, better in a lot of ways. So today I want to talk about from the subject, what do you expect? All right. What do you expect? Let me share with you an illustration before I get started and go deeper into the scriptures. You know, one of my teams is the Golden State Warriors. They didn't have a good game last night. They did pretty good, but they lost. And even when we close, we only like victory. But one of the players, you know, the star of the team, is Steph. And one thing Steph does sometimes, if you really watch the team, is he will shoot a three-pointer. And as soon as it leaves his hand, he turns away before it goes through the net. Because even though he doesn't see it going through the net, he expects it to go through. He expects it because of the way it felt when he left his hand. When he's in that zone, he expects, he knows it's going, he has no doubt it's going to go through. Yeah. And probably over 90%, 95% of the time, that shot does go through. When it's better to. Because he expects it. So today I want to deal with what do we expect as we carry out God's will in our lives. What do you expect? Someone said, whether you believe you're going to succeed or whether you believe that you're going to fail, you're right. Because what happens is usually what you expect. So keep that in mind. Now, in this text today, first, I kind of want to, as I kind of give you a context of what's going on around, I'm going to get to my key verses after that, but And that kind of gives you a context of what's going on around it. Amen. It's Jesus is kind of doing that Passover week. That Passover week when he comes into town, I think, on the donkey. And as he was in town, he was hungry. He was hungry and he saw a fig tree from far off. And because in his humanity, he was hungry, he was hoping that it would have fruit. Because usually, when it had leaves, it has figs. Amen. The fact that you saw leaves says it's supposed to have figs. So Jesus, when he saw the leaves on the fig tree, expected figs. But as he got closer to the tree and examined it, the tree did not have any figs. So it had leaves. But what it lacked was the kind of life-giving relationship that will cause it to bloom and figs to grow. So he was in his disappointment, he actually cursed the tree. And the tree that would never bear figs anymore. Stay with me there. Then he went on, and now I left some verses out. The verses in between, because they wouldn't all fit on this sheet. I put the ones I could fit on this sheet. Listen. After he had cursed the fig tree so that it would no longer ever again bear fruit, he goes to the temple. Jesus, as someone say, humble Jesus, meek and mild. He goes to the temple. And when he goes to the temple, now first, let me see. I want you to keep these things in mind. He goes to the fig tree expecting to see figs. Now, Jesus goes to the temple. He goes to the house of prayer expecting to see prayer. It's the house of prayer. He said, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer. So he goes to the house of prayer expecting to see prayer. Expecting to see people pray to God. But rather than seeing people praying to God, what he saw was people praying, P-R-E-Y, on each other. Y'all with me so far? Because they were selling, amen, because some of these people had journeyed from four countries. They did not bring the ram or the lamb or this whatever they had for a sacrifice. They didn't bring it. So they had to buy it there at the temple. And because the people who were selling in the temple gate knew that you didn't have any other, they had kind of a corner on the market. So you had to pay the price that they asked for, or you had to go without a sacrifice. So they would have exuberant prices, way higher than they should have been. And that's why Jesus calls him a den. You have made this house that's supposed to be a house of prayer out of a den of thieves and robbers. But when he came, he expected to see. And really, the tree was a symbol of basically of the temple. Because the fact that there wasn't prayer in the temple, meaning there wasn't fruit in the temple. Prayer was supposed to be the fruit of the temple. And prayer should have brought the kind of presence and power of God that people come to the temple and be blessed and lives be changed. And the glory of God show up, and there should have been a lot of life changing and blessing and healing and strengthening going on at the temple, just like it should have been fruit on the tree that could give people strength and thirst and hunger. It should also have been prayer at the temple. But in both places, they didn't live up to expectations. It looked good. It had the trimmings. The tree looked like it was a tree that could bear fruit. Because it had leaves. But it didn't have no fruit. When you looked at the temple was beautiful. Amen. It looked like a place that was designed for God and God's worship and for prayer to go on and for people's lives to be blessed and changed. But it had the look. It had the representation, but it lacked power. So in both cases, Jesus' expectations were not met. In this humble, meek, and mild Jesus, in both issues, he cursed the tree, and then he picked up a cord and ran all of them out. Now, Jesus just one man. And most times we think of Jesus being mild and calm, kind. But at this point in time, amen, he had to clean out, amen, they had made his father's house. See, Jesus never really do anything if you just mess with him. But you went in his father's house. You know how it is. Sometimes somebody, you know, mess with you, shrug it off, ain't no big deal. But when they come into your mama house acting crazy, wait a minute, hold on. I was all right. I was all right. You can say what you want to say to me, do what you want to do to me, but you don't come up in my mama house. So Jesus, wait a minute, and you see them clearing out, running everybody out of the temple. And evidently, amen, evidently they knew not to come back on. Oh, you don't see nobody back, church. So if we look at that, we need to ask ourselves. When Jesus looks at my life, what does he expect? As believers, he expects, just like he expects from the fig tree and from the temple, for us to be fruitful and powerful and powerful and people that change things, people that minister, people that thrive, people that build up his kingdom, and the kingdom of God come through us. He expects it. But is he disappointed in us? Just like he's disappointed in the tree and the temple. Do we just dress up and look like Christians on Sunday? When they pass by Bethsaida and see the building, amen, they expect something of us. Because we are a church, and they see the name church, they expect some of us. When people on your job or in your circle know that you're a follower of Christ, they expect something of you. And Jesus expects something. But do they find that you don't have any figs because you don't have that vibrant relationship with God? Do they find a temple where there's no prayer? But you know, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So I need to ask again, what do you expect? Okay. We see how now he left the temple. This is the next day. And they come back that same way they came yesterday. amazed Peter, because even though Jesus cursed the tree, he did not expect that the whole tree, all the way down to its roots, would be dead in one day. You know, when the tree died, you know, it died gradually. You know, a couple leaves, I'll fall off here. This limb will die. Maybe a couple weeks later, it's more dead. And maybe when you come back a month or two, it's completely dead. But in one day, the whole tree, all the way to its roots, was dead. And then look here. Listen at what this says. And Jesus, verse 22. And Jesus answered them, have faith in God. Wait a minute. The question is, when did they ask the question? And Jesus answered them, have faith in God. Peter just said, Rabbi, look, the fig tree, you cursed it with it. But it, within that statement, there's a question. How did this tree wither so quickly? How did it get in the condition it got in so quickly? And I know Jesus wanted, said, but I just went on and told Peter, what did you expect? I'm the Son of God. When I say something, it happens. I don't go by time. When I say something, my word is so powerful. When I say something to Peter, he said, Peter, have faith in God. And when Peter, when I say something, when you have my word about something, you can expect my word to be fulfilled. The reason why the church, many of us are not as fruitful and powerful, is because we don't expect enough from the word of God. Y'all hear what I'm saying? When you look at God's word, know God's word, you ought to have a greater expectation. That's what faith is. He said, Peter, have faith in God. Yeah. Is that what it said? Right. Peter, have faith in God. Or have faith in God. When he says have faith in God, that Peter, because you know what faith is? Faith is expecting something. In other words, Peter, the reason why often there's no fruit where it should be, is because there's no faith. You don't get because you don't expect. If you expect, you will receive. If you don't expect, you won't receive. If you expect power, you receive power. If you expect breakthrough, you receive breakthrough. If you expect a move of God, you see a move of God. If you expect doors to be open, doors to be open. If you expect God to do what God do, just expect him. All I need you to do, Peter, just expect him to show up and show out as you are kingdom building. And the reason why sometimes, amen, the kingdom ain't where it should be, and we as believers and followers of Christ aren't as fruitful as we could be, is because we don't expect God to show up in the space, amen, that he's already promised us he will show up in. Are we walking by sight and not by faith? Y'all with me so far? Because you should expect more of God. That's kind of that's all I'm trying to tell you this morning. Expect more and you'll get more. Expect less and you'll get less. Expect to win, you'll win. Expect to lose, you'll lose. Expect to be successful, when you're doing something from God. He already, amen. Because see, his word, the word of God will say what God will do in certain spaces. And you got to apply the word of God to the space and expect God to do what he said he would do in that space. I don't think y'all get how powerful that is. Let me try to convince you. I don't see you. I'm looking at the jury. And I'm not getting the right verdict. Okay. Let's see where we're at. Jesus answered them, have faith in God. Truly, okay, verse 23, truly I say to you, Peter. Maybe Peter didn't get it. He had to come. You know, when you don't get something, Jesus had to repeat it. But you don't think it's true. Truly, Peter, I say to you, whoever says that this mountain be taken up and thrown into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Y'all see that? Can God lie? He said, truly. I'm not lying. I'm son of God. Whosoever said, anyway, this is how you move mountains. Mountains represent a distinction. Mountain is something that's so big, so strong, so insurmountable. Those situations in your life that you think you just can't do nothing with. You ever have situations in life you've been trying to do something with a long time? That thing that stands in front of you and dares you to challenge you. That mountain. Anybody got a mountain this morning in your life that stands in front of you and dares you to challenge it? Well, Jesus says you can speak to your mountain. He said you can speak to your mountain. And your mountain will go into the sea. If you expect it. Let me talk a little bit about this speaking to your mountain. I'm gonna go to the next verse where you will see the because you see the full picture. Sometimes you gotta speak the things in your life that are standing in your way. They're standing in the way of you being the believer, the follower. Amen. The person that God created you to be and to fulfill the mission that God wanted you to be fulfilled. They're standing in the way of you developing the character and living out that role that God has for you. That assignment stands in your way and it looks so big. You've been fighting with it a long time. And he said, listen here. You got to expect something. What you need to do is speak to your mountain. And if you speak to it, it'll be moved into the sea. Why do I have to speak to it, Pastor? Because sometimes you got to let it know about your God. Let your mountain. Y'all hear me? Tell your mountain about your God. See, sometimes a mountain will get on your nerves after a while. Yeah.
Right.
A mountain is like an abusive spouse.
Wow.
Y'all with me?
Yeah.
A mountain is like an abusive spouse. Amen. You'd have been hit.
Uh-huh.
You'd have been knocked down.
Yeah.
You'd have been bruised.
Yeah.
You'd have been verbally threatened, talked about, talked down. Said all kinds of things too, but then they'll make up with your mountain to make up with you. Say it's gonna be all right. Try me again. Let me have. I'll do better next time. Y'all with me so far? And you go back to that mountain, and they're in your way. And then that same cycle that happens again, and you go back to your mountain again. So there come to a point that you got to go ahead and just speak to your mountain. Listen here, mountain. problem is we don't get to that point with our mountains. It might be a financial mountain. It might be a health mountain. It might be any kind of mountain in your life. It might be a mountain on your job, a mountain in your family. And you've been trying to get past that thing because that thing is just messing you up. And I'm trying to tell you, this is your day. Yet you need to go home and finally to make up your mind. Listen here, mountain. I'm not going through this not one more day. You're not ruining my life not one more day. You got to go. You got to go. You got to pack your bags. You got to pack your bag. But now I'm telling you what your mountain, going to say. Wait a minute, you can't put me out. That's what your mountain going to say. Who do you think you are talking to me like this? After all I have done for you, now you will try to put me out. But see, when you talk, the reason why you can talk to your mountain like that, because you can always talk to your mountain about your God. The reason why you got to go, mountain, because I got a God that says you got to go. God says you got to go. I've been thinking I had to put up with you. But now, because I didn't expect much from myself. I thought that was all the choice I had. I didn't see no way out. I didn't see no doors open for me. But my God had told me that. And he had lifted my expectations. You've been telling me that the best thing I could do was you. But now, since I've been talking to my God, see, you can't talk to your mountain before you talk to your God. But once you talk to your God, then you talk to your mountain. Once you get it right with your God, and your God has told you, don't worry about that mountain. He's going to tell you, can't make it on your own. He's going to tell you, turn around. You're going to come back. You've been at it all your life. You've been having a problem all life. He's going to tell you, you don't have another choice. But once you talk to your God, he said, no, 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 no. You're going to tell your mountain, he got to go. Is there anybody here who wants to know what I'm saying? You don't have no more time for him. He's keeping you. He's in the way. Amen. He's in a house. Amen. And don't, amen. And my plan for you can't get in the house because he's taking up my space. So you got to put him out before the blessing can come in. You got to put the curse out before the blessing can come in. So, hey, I'm ready to be blessed. So you got to go. You got to go. Because I'm ready to be blessed. And then it says, verse 24. Therefore, I tell you, you already see, this is what you already done. This is why you know, hey, it got to go. It got, I done got too many tickets. You got to go.
Yeah.
I done wasted too much of my money.
Yeah.
You done messed up my family.
Yeah. Yeah.
You done messed up my health.
Yeah.
I'm tired of fooling with you.
You
got to go, mountain. You've been holding me back from being the person that God designed me. Mountain, you got to go. Then, hey, if you don't want to go, you can call somebody to put him out. Do y'all hear me? Right, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. So, hey, if you ask in prayer for God to move a mountain, amen, the mountain will be moved and tossed in the sea. Because if you ask and you expect it, if you expect it, I can do it. Is anybody here know what I'm talking about? We got to learn to expect God to move. Expect God to change things. Expect God to overcome any kind of obstacle that's in our way. But if you expect him to show up, he'll show up. Because sure, your mountains can sometimes bully you. They bully you. As the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach and Meshach, they say, hey, if you don't bow down and worship us when you hear the music, we're going to throw you into the fiery furnace. But then they had to talk with their God. They said, hey, I don't know about what you're talking about, Tolkien. I'm not even worried about that. Because the God that we serve, he's able to deliver us. I'm expecting God. And everybody said, I don't know what you're talking about that fire. But we expect God to move. You can try to put us down now. You can try to get rid of us. But we are expecting the God that we serve to move on our behalf. And I'm trying to tell you, if he don't show up, we are already ready. Because when he don't show up, that means he has something even more remarkable. And you know what happened? They throw him down. He didn't save them from the furnace. He don't always save you from the situation, but he will save you in the situation. He's able to deliver us. And the folk that threw him in died. Amen. But because they had their, he'll sit up. Amen. He'll be the plus one in your situation. That's the reason why, amen. That's the reason why that mountain had to go. Because there's a plus one. There's a mountain mover. He's a fire extinguisher. And they go down in the fiery furnace and come out and didn't even smell like smoke. I dare you expect something from God. Because if you expect something from God, God is going to do it. You got to expect something. And that thing that you expect, put it in that space. And he'll show up in that space. He'll show up in the furnace. He'll show up in the lion's den. He'll show up on the wave, in the storm. He'll show up. And he will show up. But you got to expect something from God. Hey, you want that rain? You got to expect. I expect. Hey, don't be afraid. I know what I'm worth. I know who my God is. I expect to be paid right. I expect to be treated right. You got to pay me because I don't come cheap. I'm too good to come cheap. Y'all don't hear me? Is anybody here paying me? I'm trying to lift your expectation. When you can expect God, then you can say what you say and walk away like Steph. You know it's going to happen. You can turn your back. You ain't worried about it because it's already done. He said, and right here, it's already done. The door is already open. The road is already made. The rain is already there. It may not be in that company, but it'll be in some company. You got to expect it. But now, see, whenever you try to live the life where you're walking by faith and not by sight, the enemy is going to try to, because you got to have the right outcome. You got to be focused. Oh, I'm focused because I'm going to have a positive. I'm going to have a God intervention. God's going to move. You already expecting the kind of outcome. But this is what the enemy is going to come. The enemy is going to try to give you a picture of a negative outcome. You know, it could be like this. You could just lose that job and be hungry. You could. This could happen. This bad thing could happen to you. And you, because the enemy wants you to doubt. He don't want you to have faith. With every time you look into the word of God and see a positive outcome, saying, yeah, God said that, but what if it don't? What if it don't work for you? What if it don't work for you? Can you imagine David going up against Goliath, and he got his fast moves done. He's going to think, oh, shoot. What if I miss? I've been working with this slingshot a long time, but whatever. What if Goliath is a big boy? What if I miss? What would Goliath do to me if I miss? That's the kind of doubt. I'm trying to, when you walk by faith, that's the kind of doubt God is going to try to introduce to your experience. Because he don't want you to walk by faith. The enemy goes, hey, doubt this. God may not come through for you. You know, you got car payments. He may not come through for you. You got a child in college. He may not come through for you. God, wait a minute, didn't I tell you, if you got a mountain, if you got a mountain, and if you know what I said, you got a mountain, read back what I told you in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, lean not to your own understanding. Because you try to think about, well, how can I work this out? It's going to work for me. This, I don't know what's going to happen. Don't put your weight on your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge him. Phew, kind of get with this. And when you go say, hey, God, what do you got to say about this thing? And when you get what God said, then you submit yourself to what God says about it. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. And then what he said, the best way to say it is, he shall, like I said in some version, he shall make your path straight. And then you think about that, that idea from like when kings would come into town, because you was king, amen, you didn't have to go around and they'll move things out of your way. Because you were the king. So when you made his way straight, you move whatever things, obstacles in the way. Amen. Because you wanted to get him, the king, to where the king wanted to go. So I'm trying to tell you, we're royalty. We're the king's king. And he said, amen, lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him. Amen. And when he gives you, amen, what he wants you to do, then you submit yourself to it. And what's going to happen is whatever obstacle is in your way, whatever obstacle reaching your kingdom goal, your kingdom assignment that he has for you, he'll move that obstacle. Yeah, y'all hear me? So if it's a mountain in your way, see, that's what I'm trying to hook these verses up. That mountain that you've been trying to move and you're afraid of, he said, don't even be afraid of the mountain. I know it looks big. I know it's a tremendous obstacle. It looks like no way it's going to happen. But don't you be afraid of a mountain, because I already said, I done gave you a divine principle. Amen. Lean not to your own understanding. I, God, that comes from God. Amen. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight. Mountain, rocks, whatever is in your path, he will move it so you can fulfill your kingdom assignment. So you got to, don't be double-minded. Because when you're double-minded, you're unstable. You got to just expect something. Whatever the challenge you're facing next week or next month, when you walk up to that challenge, you just, hey, man. Because the enemy was like, fear, doubt. Don't do it. But God says, hey, I already done told you, submit yourself to what I've already told you. I'm going to move every obstacle. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Only thing you have to worry about is sometimes my timing may not be your timing, because sometimes I'm trying to give you time to get ready for your blessing, or I'm trying to get your blessing time to get ready for you. but it's going to happen. Amen. I may not come when you want me to come, because I need to work on you a little bit more to get you ready for your blessing. I need to work a little bit more in your life to get you ready for your blessing. And then sometimes you ready for your blessing, but your blessing ain't ready for you. Because if you got it now, it won't bless you like it's going to bless you when you get it then. Are y'all listening to me? Listen. I'm going to give y'all this little story. Little time still coming. Let's see what you're talking about. When I was in the car selling business, there was a place called Standing on the Point. I mean, you people, you see when you drive up, they're standing out there on the point waiting for a customer. Since I wanted money, you know, I had a family. I'm out there standing on the point in a suit, tie. It's like 90 degrees. I'm cool. Everybody else sitting in air conditioning, you know. But I'm on the point because I want to be ready when the customer, I'm on the point. And then it was always this a certain woman. And but when she see a car, you know, she'll run out there. Sometimes she'll run, you know, get it from her. So they said, man, why you letting her do that? I ain't worried about that, man. I said, Lord, I'm not going to argue with her. But I'm going to show you something. I said to her, when she runs in front of me, she'll never make a deal. She never did. But one day she ran in front of me, got that little car, and said, okay, I'm good. And I was just standing, I did pretty good that month. I said, that's okay. If she wanted to do all that, I'm not going to fight with fathers. I believe. And I was just standing around, kind of waiting. And then the assistant manager came out and said, Tim, come here. I got this guy who want to buy a car in here. You to show it to him. So I went and showed the guy the car. And he had just got a car, but he said, I don't want this one. Because he don't have big money. Yeah. I don't want this one. I'm gonna let y'all have this one back. I want this new one. But this is the car right here. This one. So I'm saying, I'm here, I said, okay. So I sold him, you know, he traded in the old. I mean, he was the same, he was practically new. He didn't have it 3 months, he done traded that one in. So I don't want that one. I want this one. So now when you trade in a car, value, but what we sell it for, you make profit off of that. So I made profit when they sold the car he bought in because I sold him the other car.
Right.
I made profit both ways. Because of the practically new car, they sold it for a practically new price. And because it was the new car that they were trying to get was the highest end car, what you made the most profit on, I got that money too. And then the one that ran out in front of me, when I had sold it, because she had never sold one, she said, how did you sell that? How did you sell that? I haven't even sold one of those yet. So she didn't understand. When she ran across me, God was just trying to get her out the way. Because he wanted me to be this one on this thing. I'm trying to tell you, amen. If you will wait on God, you don't have to fight your own battle. I'm saying, God, they're trying to get out of the way where somebody she couldn't even make nothing on. And then when I wasn't even worried about it, amen, I didn't have to search for a customer. The master came to me and took me to a customer, and I made more money than she made in a whole month just on that one deal. He will take care of you. You don't have to fight your own battle. You just got to expect something to happen. That's what I'm trying to get you to do. When you leave here this morning, when you go out, you walk, I expect a great day. Because God, amen, when you go to my house, I'm going to expect something to happen today. Because God will show up. If you expect to have a bad, you ought to get up happy. Because you're expecting to have a great day. God will show up today. He's going to do something special. God, just get me ready because I want to be able to handle it. I don't want to have a heart attack because, amen, he will blow your mind with what he can do. But you got to get up expecting something to happen. I don't have to bow down. don't have to compromise. I can live for him. I can live my life with joy of expecting God. I'm going to wait on you, God. But when I go ahead of you and try to do it on my own, amen, I mess it up. And I miss out on seeing you doing the impossible. The reason why sometimes we don't grow is because we've done stuff on our own and that barely made it. But if we would have waited on God to move, expected God to move, we could have saw God do the impossible and we'd be stronger today than we were last week. You move your mountain. So that's why once you tell God about your mountain, you can tell your mountain about your God. Because your God sure will show up. And once your mountain is moved, he'll bring you to your appointment. Your appointment with being blessed. Your appointment with your victory. Your appointment with your new position. Your appointment with your healing. He will bring you to your appointment, amen, after he moves your mountain. Don't doubt him. Expect the shot to go in. Expect an excellent outcome. Expect to win. Expect a victory. And God said, if you expect it, I can give it to you. Oh, I dare you. If you don't believe it, won't you just look at his track record? You go in the Bible and look at his track record. When God, folk expected God to do something, he just showed up and showed out. So I dare you expect it. Sometimes when he expected, it'll happen so fast. I was just calling them. I didn't expect it to happen that quick. You remember when Peter was in prison and they were paying for Peter and the church had a prayer meeting and God done loose Peter. Peter done walked out the prison and goes over to the doctor's house and knocks on the door and he said, who is it? I'm Peter. We just started praying for Peter about 15 minutes ago. We just started praying for Peter. So she wrong. Hey, is somebody talking about that Peter? We just thought, I know we paying for Peter, ain't we? But God don't work so fast. We expected you to get out, Peter, but we didn't know you were going to get out this quick. You got to expect something from God. That's my challenge to you and my challenge to me. Expect God to do something great. Expect God to work miracles. Expect God to open doors. Expect God to pour out blessings. Expect God to do something. Don't you leave here. Come, God, shut. Amen. Expect him to do something great for you. Come on, sister. Hallelujah. Hallelujah in this house. You're a winner. It's time to win. It's winning time. Expect something from God. You can go ahead and just say your prayers and turn your back on that thing. Because you're going to win. The shout is going in. Yeah. I moved the mountains. You go home and talk to that mountain. Go home and write about it. Sometimes you can journal about it. Sometimes you can sing about it. Amen. When he delivers you from that stronghold, say, I won't go back. I'm not going back to that person I used to be. Oh, because he done changed me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he didn't come through for you. Back to the same. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here, somebody. He set you free so you can live free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to your name. You're a mighty God. Praying Gathering, April 22nd at 10:30 a.m. Right here at the Bethsaida Church. Amen. And well, everybody knows the address. If you listen to us, amen, on the podcast 3422 U.S. Highway 84 in O'Hara, Texas. Amen. I had another announcement. Go to the office after we dismiss and give you that. I think I left it in the office. Amen. About another event that's happening. All right, y'all, let's stand. Let's stand. I'm going to pray first. I'm going to pray. Then we're going to dismiss. I just want to pray because I feel like somebody's at that point that you're ready to trust God. You're ready to trust God because you got some expectations. You're expecting something from God now. So I don't want to just leave you with that expectation. I just want to take you to God about that. Whatever that thing that you're expecting, whatever that thing is, that mountain that is in your life, that he'll move that mountain, amen. Or I'll give you the strength to climb it, as you to say. Because that's the kind of God that we serve. Amen. So let's just take it to God and pray. God, here we are. Here we are with just things in our life that seem insurmountable. Just can't see our way around it or through it. And it's blocking our way. It's blocking our way to being what we can be. It's blocking our way to doing the things you've called us to do. Amen. It's blocking the way of somebody in our family or somebody in our community. It's blocking the way, amen, of our finances. Whatever it is, God, here we are, all these your people that have gathered together today. And we just going to say, God, we're going to trust you. We're going to believe in you, God. We expect you to do some amazing things with the members and those that are gathered here this morning to do some amazing things in our life. Let them walk out of this place, amen, with some kind of expectation to expect you to start moving in their life in incredible ways that sometimes they won't even be able to understand, God. That's not about us. It's about you. It's about your glory. It's about us trying to do your will, trying to fill the assignment that you gave us. God, you're the only one we got to trust. Can't nobody else move mountains like you because they're too big. But you're God. You made the mountain. And because you made the mountain, you can move the mountain, God. We're trusting in you. We're trusting in you. Oh, God, please, 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 Master. Father, Father, hear our cry. Wild on others, you're calling, Lord. Oh, Lord, don't pass us by. We know you won't. You promise you'll be there with us always, even till the end of the age. You promise if we seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, you will give us, you'll add all these other things, though. That's why we trust in you. That's why we're believing in you. That's why we wait to see you move in a mighty way this morning. So we surrender. We surrender everything we got. Everything we are. We're not going to lean on our own understanding. We're going to trust you and acknowledge you and follow you. Ooh. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Move that mountain. Bind the enemy, God. Bind them that's working in our lives. Oh, God, help us to trust you more. Help us to trust you more. Help us to leave this place trusting you more. Oh, God, help us to trust you until the breakthrough comes. Help us to lean and depend upon your word. Because you're mighty, you're mighty, you're mighty, you're mighty, you're awesome. You're a great God. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In advance. We're not even going to look back at the shot. We're going to thank you in advance. Before we see the ball go through the net, we're going to thank you in advance. Ooh, hallelujah to your mighty name. Ain't nobody like you. Ain't nobody like you. Oh, hallelujah to your name. advance. We praise it before we see it. We praise it in advance. Now to him that's able to keep us and to present us that Father for our Father's throne. In love of God our Father, praise of Jesus Christ our Lord, sweet communion of the Holy Spirit our Comforter, rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Amen.